Thanks, Jackie.
Right, there you go, there you go.
All right. You can go to the next slide there, Jackie. This goes back to last year's council, and particularly in December, as we were wrapping up the county council session. We were working on ordinances related to density and buffers at that time, and it was decided that we were going to table that discussion and that initiative because we were at the end of the county council session. We knew two members were going off and we were going to have two new members. And this initiative was complicated enough and sensitive enough that we should probably wait until calendar year 2019 to turn our attentions to this matter. Mr. Vincent, as president at that time, requested that the county administrator assemble a group of stakeholders who would be willing to work on this initiative. And since that time frame, myself and members of staff have been working to identify and assemble the group and then to sketch out our plan for this working group to tackle this broad initiative. And really the purpose for us in this initiative is to review the county code and develop recommendations to bring back to this county council on these topics, whether it's wetlands or buffers or items related to those points for the council to consider. Ultimately, our recommendations would have to go through the council's approval process, and if we're talking about an ordinance, would have to go through an ordinance public hearing process, which could mean public hearings with this body as well as Planning and Zoning Commission. So the charge of the working group, if you will, is to bring back these recommendations on these topics. We've decided to break this effort up into two phases initially. The first phase is going to focus on the county code and the definitions within the county code, specifically Chapter 115, Section 193. That is the chapter that references our buffer regulations and the definitions contained therein. The thought is that we need to address definitions and clarify the terms within the code before we move on to regulations so that we're all on the same page and talking about the same terminology and making sure that we understand that terminology. We started to work on that at the end of 2018 and really decided to hit the pause button because for the reasons I stated earlier. The next phase would be moving on to regulations. But before we would do that, the definitions would come before this council with the recommended changes. That would most definitely be in an ordinance fashion where you would have the ordinance in front of you, and if you so choose, introduce that ordinance, and then we would work through the public hearing process. Since it's in Chapter 115, that most definitely would go through both Planning, Zoning, and County Council for public hearing. Once that is completed, or as we are working through the definitions, we would turn our attention to the regulations related to these topics, and that would be phase two. We would envision that to take place sometime in the late spring or summer of this year. And really, that's going to be a much deeper discussion, a much more involved discussion coming out of the working group. And I can't really predict what the product will be as it relates to the recommendations, but we are certainly going to give it our best shot to make sure that we make improvements to the code and consider regulations, balancing both the interests of in the environment as well as property rights. As I mentioned, the group has, we've identified membership of the group. Jackie, you can turn to the next slide. We have 13 members that we have contacted and all have agreed to work through this effort. This consists of stakeholders that have an interest or a particular expertise in this matter. We are also going to use the assistance of the county's consultant that we already have on our roster, RKNK, Jim Eisenhart, who is going to help us with these efforts. As you can see from the list, these are familiar names and faces that have worked with the county before or are familiar with the county's processes or just have an interest in this matter. Some of these folks, in fact, came for you during the public hearings in 2018 to voice their opinions about some of the efforts that we were considering at that time. I will pause there and see if there are any questions related to what I've presented. I also would mention that I have spearheaded the efforts out of my office, but I've used the help of the county engineer, Hans Medlars, planning zoning director, Janelle Cornwell, and our assistant county attorney, Vince Robertson. Collectively, the four of us have developed this approach to this point. I failed to mention our first meeting is scheduled for next Wednesday, February 13th. I'll stop there, Mr. President.
At this point in time, any questions where we are right now, or Mr. Burton?
I am extremely excited about this undertaking. This has been, in my opinion, a long time to get to this point. I think the county's changed. I think we got to address some of these issues in a conversation that we've never had before, as far as I can tell. So I applaud you in the group that you've picked. I think starting with the definitions is the absolute essential to the success of this group, because that's where we ran into with the buffer conversation, with all the conversation. I was talking about one thing, you were talking about another, and we thought we were talking about the same thing. So I think it's a great group. We're starting out right, and I love the fact that you're starting Wednesday.
Any more questions of council?
Where are these,
Mr. meetings? Riley?
Where will the meetings be held?
So the first meeting is scheduled at the West Complex. The first meeting, the kickoff meeting, it's Wednesday, February 13th at 2 p.m. in the West Complex large conference room on the first floor. We do have proposed meeting dates that we want to share with the group at the kickoff meeting to confirm that everyone or most everyone will be available, and that the West Complex is convenient enough for everyone to meet. It's convenient for the county because it is our facility, and the computer system and everything we have access to. I'm not sure how many people will show up to the meeting, quite frankly. If it outgrows the room, then we may have to consider a different venue, but for now we're going to start at the West Complex.
Does the West Complex have the ability to broadcast on the internet?
No, sir.
Does not.
Just this room.
Just this room.
And it's a
my understanding there's no public comment available. Or
that's correct.
Are these volunteers? All these people here are volunteers?
They have volunteered to participate. I would say some said with the understanding that as their professional livelihood, they're going to have to balance their needs and their times. That may mean that we can't meet during the day, quite frankly, because some of these folks work out in the field, literally in the fields, and we may have to switch to evening meetings if that's the case. We're very flexible. Also, I think perhaps you were asking, are they being compensated? The answer is no, they are not being compensated for their work.
Now, Jim's is compensated, right?
Jim Eisenhart, he is already a consultant that the county has, our pre-approved engineering consultant. Quite frankly, he has not been paid up to this point and has agreed to participate in the first meeting without being compensated, because we just don't know the scope as of yet of our tasks. I do envision him with a change order to his contract, and we'd be before you with parameters as it relates to his consulting activities at a future date, at a future council date.
Any more questions, council? You can continue right along, sir.
All righty. We will be back and let you know how things are going. We do have an aggressive schedule, so stay tuned.
I think Mr. Burton very happy.
Thank you. All right. Last item is the county administrator's report for February 5th. Only one item, a reminder, the council will not meet on February 12th, next week. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, February 19th at 10 a.m. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. Today I'm requesting for you to introduce an ordinance to amend our code to make sure our pension plan continues to be considered a qualified pension plan under the Internal Revenue Service Code. None of these revisions change the benefits of our employees that they're receiving today. The revisions simply make sure that our pension stays in favorable tax status with the IRS, so our employees do not get taxed on the contributions that county makes annually to the pension fund. So the ordinance was amended by our attorneys, and what I did was put a summary sheet together to better define what those changes were, to simplify. So what I did here is, why is qualification so important to IRS? Again, it's taxation. Make sure that our employees are not taxed for the contributions that we make into the pension fund. They're only taxed when they pull the pension out and when they become a retiree. Bankruptcy. This protects their pension so that creditors cannot come after what they have already earned, except for in cases of child support or, of course, the federal government. Proposed code changes. So here are the sections of the code and the pension that's changing. Again, benefits do not change. This is just adding language. So section 1A, we're changing. The IRS requires that a government pension is for only government employees. So they ask that we define what a covered employee is. We just put the language in that it applies today. Limit compensation, they want you to put a cap, so up to $280,000 a year is determining the benefits. We have nobody that makes that. It would adjust with inflation annually, so nobody is affected there. Same thing with compensation, also the limit on the benefits, the drawdown in the pension. There's a limit of $225,000. Again, nobody receives that type of pension here. Military service, make sure that you provide certain benefits to the military service, meaning that if somebody passes away as a retiree, that their beneficiaries receive that benefit. We already offer that to all of our employees. We just add this language. Require minimum distributions. IRS requires that you distribute pensions at the age of 70 and a half. We have it at 62. So ours is better, but we're adding that language to make sure that we're qualified. And then the F, benefits are not assignable. This is what I was talking about with the pension being assigned to creditors, that the benefits are not assignable, only in cases of child support and the federal government. And I have, I can read the short title for introduction.
If you would please do that, ma'am.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 26 of the Code of Sussex County relating to pension benefits for Sussex County employees to bring the code into compliance with the United States Internal Revenue Code.
Anybody want to introduce that? Mr. Wolf introduces it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, Brandy Norman, coming right back up.
That's what you've been waiting for.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
We're ready to go.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Again.
So I am here to, again, I am Brandy Nauman with the Community Development and Housing Department, and we were here in October to discuss the concept of an affordable housing analysis request for proposals, which was approved by council at that time. So just as a brief refresh, this occurred because of a lot of conversations and public comment that came out of the comp plan from 2016 through last year, and there was just a really strong support for affordable housing and to sort of figure out what the barriers are to our existing programs and just really how to produce some opportunities for affordable housing. So this is just, this was mentioned previously, but this is just kind of the background of our existing ordinances that were passed back in the height of the real estate boom, and they just aren't effective and they don't appeal to developers like they should. So we wanted to kind of make some moves. So again, we had a lot of public comment and a lot of support from Planning and Zoning and County Council to move forward with doing something. So in October, we came before you to ask for your support with an RFP, which was released on the 24th of October. At the end of November, we received 7 proposals, which we were actually really impressed with, impressive proposals as well. And our internal review panel met in December, and in January, we interviewed 2 of the top firms. And again, this is just, I went over this previously, but this is what we asked for in the RFP. It's basically 3 major components: a market analysis specific to affordable housing, and then further broken down about rental and homeownership needs, what income levels we need, and then the demographic and socioeconomic data as well, and then an analysis of our existing programs, what are the barriers, why aren't they working, what can we do to make them work, what other options do we have, and that can be land use wise, a housing trust fund, all kinds of things. We just want to sort of review all of our options. And then also a major component is a stakeholder analysis. So we've already done we've heard a lot from the public during the comp plan process, but this would be very specific to affordable housing in Sussex County and making sure we're hearing from all of the essential stakeholders through that process. And what we hope to get out of it is obviously something that you all can act on and that we can implement very quickly to make necessary changes, whether it's through our department or with land use, to really have an effective change on affordable housing production here in Sussex County. So our top choice out of the 7 proposals is Lisa Sturtevant and Associates. Her group is based out of Alexandria, which is actually one of the most locally based firms that applied. There would be a team of 4 staff members that have specific experience with inclusionary zoning and affordable workforce housing. And I've listed a few of their recent related projects that I think are pretty interesting, especially in areas that are not only in the Mid-Atlantic, but also have sort of that tourism service-driven economy that we have, like Hilton Head, South Carolina. Montgomery County, we have sort of used them as a guide on our programs previously. The cost of the study is $65,160, and it's the timeline is not to exceed 6 months. And in addition to answering the basic requirements of the RFP, she also included some really interesting add-ons, which would be how she planned to do the market analysis, which included the economic feasibility. So when we're throwing out these various policies that we're exploring, she's going to apply that to 4 submarkets within the county. We talk about this a lot with affordable housing, is the difference between the east and the west side of Sussex County, and even central Sussex County. I mean, there are very drastic differences, and so sort of how that policy would affect each of those markets, and if it is a drastic impact, you know, how would we implement that policy so that it's a fair distribution across the county. And then the stakeholder analysis, in addition to sort of the basic focus groups that we were asking for, she's going to create an advisory group and holding public meetings as well to just make sure we are really reaching out to the community and getting their buy-in, but also your buy-in, the council. So you will be involved from the beginning of this process so that you your input is taken into account at the very beginning so that everyone sort of has a collaborative approach when we get to the end of this. And what we all found really interesting was her concept of a housing toolkit, which was not part of the RFP, but it really allows for a goal and objective sort of process for us to track how this actually works. Is it going to work? What can we sort of having an implementation plan for all of these policies and recommendations as we as they leave us. You know, she's not just going to walk away with a report, but we will have actual actionable things to do over the, you know, the next several months following the end of this process. So that's it in a nutshell. But I'm happy to try and answer any questions, as is Brad.
Questions of council?
Who gets the $65,000?
Lisa Sturdivant and Associates.
I assume she likes to stay there quite a while, wouldn't she?
6 months. That's the money. Process, yes.
$65,000 for 6 months. For,
well, there's four people.
Yeah, it's not just her.
All black.
Right. Yes, there's four of them, and it actually was one of the more reasonably priced of the seven. So
that's even better than growing chickens.
There you go. Any more?
Maybe for 1 or 2 o'clock.
I'm glad that you're doing. It's the whole county.
Yes.
Right. So we're concentrating on the whole county with different plans, and then. What about like towns? Are we bringing them into this fold?
They will be a part of the stakeholder analysis. So they will be brought in and part of the educational, but also seeking their input and any partnerships they're willing to provide. We will make sure that they are brought into that process.
Right. And then getting back to definitions, right? We're doing affordable and workforce.
That's what we hope to make a part of this process is answering our definitions, because we kind of have all been back and forth about what is our definition of workforce and affordable. And I think that's part of what she will help us officially define. What does that mean to Sussex County, and how do our policies affect each of those definitions?
But it's not, you know, in my language, it's subprime. I don't know what it is. What is your language? It's not... HUD-based program.
No. This is really covering whatever we think our definitions of affordable and workforce are. This is covering all of it. We want to sort of be able to tackle the 80 to 120% AMI households, as well as sort of helping us have a strategy for tackling the 80 and below. So I hope to be able to define affordable and workforce, and then a policy for each of those. That's my hope.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Can you check out your income, see how much money is coming in before you become approval?
Well, we haven't even created the policy or program yet, but we would ultimately verify income for participation, depending on how we.
$65,000 we had that checked out.
She is well certified. We yes, very.
Does she go around and check the houses? Or is that like buying a pig in a bag?
Well, we aren't giving out any houses. This is all policy-based and sort of a market analysis right now. So
you know,
there's no...
If you don't watch it, we could come to discrimination. Because some people put in, say, I'm taking so much income, and another person said, I might be equal to that. I'm not bringing the income they are. And they might say, how come you take care of this house? You don't take care of mine. So that's sort of discrimination there, in my opinion. In other words, we're out of money, I understand that. You know, we always go back all the way back to where the guys came across from the old ship. They decided to put all the poor thing together, and they decided that didn't work because, you know, the way it works, you've got to divide it up and let those really want something to work for it. So I'm not trying to be hard on poor people that don't have nothing, but my goodness, we can't. It'd be a little unfair to tax the person that's giving money to those living in poor houses. What, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, I could put John in this category here. He's living in a poor house, and I'm taxing him to give it to me.
This is more, my understanding is setting policy that's going to create an environment that's going to allow builders to be incentivized to produce housing that you know, really meets this need.
Yes.
One question I had was, in reading this, it appeared that the project that was most similar to Sussex County would be the Hilton Head, South Carolina project. Mm-hmm. And it appeared that it really wasn't even complete. And so I was just wondering, is there anything that any projects that they have done that have been in effect for a while that, you know, you could go back and see the impact that it's had on the community and how effective the plan was in implementation?
Sure, that's a good point. I have, they did send us, I believe, 3 of their completed projects. I have not contacted those jurisdictions, but I can certainly do that just to see sort of what that led to and how the implementation was. Yeah, I could do that.
And, question,
and they're going to look at rent and own.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Well, we do help. We have helped people out in the past a little bit, give them some money and help them try to get started. And I've gone around homes like this, different areas, and seen plywood all over windows. There's those we like to help, didn't appreciate the help. My dad said, more given, more than one. That's what he used to tell me.
Any more questions, council? You have a motion, ma'am?
I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorize the Community Development and Housing Department to enter into a contract with Lisa Sturdivant and Associates to provide affordable housing analysis services for an amount not to exceed $65,160.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
I second it.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'm yes. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think we are all interested in this being successful.